is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Could be a day of dangerous weather in the plains, with severe weather expected from northern Texas to South Dakota. Multiple intense tornadoes are possible for the area from Oklahoma City to Wichita. Meanwhile, flooding remains the concern in East Texas and the Houston area. ABC's Mola Lange is in Conroe, Texas.
Fortunately, the rainfall has started to ease a little bit here, but floodwaters still an area of concern, making roads impassable and closing schools this morning.
And the flooding now blamed for one death, a four-year-old boy swept from a car he was traveling in. Israel's called for Palestinian civilians to leave the city of Rafah, signaling a likely attack on the city. Protests continued over Israel's war at U.S. colleges and universities. Arrests made at the University of Virginia and the Art Institute of Chicago. Tonight, Boeing scheduled for the first crewed launch of its Starliner spacecraft. There'll be two astronauts on board. This is ABC News. The bodies of three tourists killed in Mexico have been identified by their parents. The American and two Australians were in Mexico to serve. Police believe they were killed by robbers who wanted the tires from their truck. Terrifying moment Sunday in the middle of a church service outside of Pittsburgh.
All of a sudden, I just seen a gun pointing right at me.
Pastor Glenn Germany says he's grateful to God to be alive.
And God they chose.
Jesus!
A gunman interrupted the pastor's Sunday sermon in North Braddock outside Pittsburgh, pointing that gun at him. Witnesses say the man pulled the trigger, but the gun jammed. All of it caught on the church's live stream.
It's ABC's Derek Dennis. Police now say they found a body at the home of the accused gunman. And some new recruits sworn in today in the world's smallest army. 34 new members of the Swiss Guard taking their oath to protect the Pope. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden returns to Wisconsin Wednesday. He'll talk about his economic policies in Racine. It will be Biden's eighth visit to Wisconsin since the midterm elections. Donald Trump was in Wisconsin twice in a month's time. Polls show the race for Wisconsin's votes is a virtual dead heat. Wisconsin's newest sports betting venue is open. Sean Cullen runs the Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino Sportsbook in Milwaukee. He tells WISN-TV's Up Front he'd back legalizing sports betting statewide.
I would hope so, and we would hope so, but at the end of the day, that's up to the state. But, you know, we're obviously supportive of that.
The Forest County Pottawatomie signed an amended compact with the state 2 years ago that allows sports betting on tribal property. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers on the road in KC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Royals tonight for the start of a three-game series. The Brewers leaving Wrigley Field last evening following a 5-0 shutout loss to the Cubs. We learned the Cubs have got some weakness in the bullpen, but a very good starting rotation right now. NFL Packers rookie minicamp wrapping up over the weekend in Green Bay. They've already signed quarterback Michael Pratt out of Tulane to a contract. Pratt was a seventh-round pick. NBA, Doc Rivers says expect changes at the Bucks, particularly on the coaching staff now that the season is over.
Obviously, I got to evaluate everything and build the right staff so we can have the right staff and all that stuff. But it's an advantage now going through the half of the season and coming to camp, then taking a new job. You know, at least I've been with these guys, kind of know how they tick. I kind of know things that you would have never known that. So I think it's an advantage for me coming into next year.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little patchy fog, otherwise sunny skies and upper 60s later on today with northwest winds. Overnight, mostly clear, lower 40s. On Monday, sunshine, lower 70s, wind turning to the southeast. More clouds on the way Monday night, a chance of showers and a few thunderstorms. It's 57 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to retired Major General Randy Manner about Project 2025 and what that could mean to American democracy. Hour number two, cars versus deer. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
On this Monday morning, May 6th, 2024, nice to have you along at 7:06. Coming up this hour, director Mary Mazzio will be back to update progress on her documentary, Bad River, all about the fight to get an Enbridge petroleum pipeline taken off of Bad River land up north and out of danger of an environmentally sensitive area. So we'll talk about the ongoing controversy and about her documentary as well. And Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will be here with three things you need to know to start the week. Here's what you need to know to start the day at 7:07 is that we're continued to be joined by Selena Heller, Up North News reporter in Eau Claire, Kristen Lyerly, our friend out in De Pere, and joining us after some time off last week, our favoritist morning meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, is here. Brittany, welcome back. Good morning.
Woo! Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I liked the big ovation from Greg. That was
awesome. I told the people you were here, and this is what I heard.
I wasn't hearing a lot of woos. I'm glad you added the woo. That was good. A good woo factor. Could I give a woo factor to this weather yesterday and this morning?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I know it's going to change, but oh, this was so great for a Sunday.
I agree. I went outside, did some hiking, biking this weekend as well. Fantastic time to do so. Today is going to be a little bit better than yesterday, just a few degrees warmer into those upper 60s to low 70s. Sunshine across the state, even with those clouds down south, those will clear on out of here today. And just soak it up because we do have cooler temperatures moving in by midweek. And of course, some rain striking tomorrow and some thunderstorms too. Now, none are expected to be severe, and who cares today? Because it's going to be beautiful.
Oh, it's going to be just lovely. It's 46 here on Lake Wissota, 47 in Hayward, 43 in Park Falls, Wausau's at 45, Green Bay 49, La Crosse 48, Rapids 47, Oshkosh 49, Madison 46, Waukesha 46, Tigerton. Rob says it's sunny and 42, wants to thank his friend and customer Anita for getting me a free meal Saturday night at the Tigerton Lions Club Steak Fry for plowing your sidewalks during the winter.
Oh.
Thank you, Anita, for the bonus. I appreciate, on Teacher Appreciation Week, I appreciate special education teachers for all they do to help kids with special needs to get through school to succeed in life. And then he adds a P.S. Welcome back, Brittany.
Oh, thanks, Rob. You're the best.
We were talking about Teacher Appreciation Week and favorite teachers. Anybody that you would like to single out to become the meteorologist rock star that you are?
You know what? The meteorologist rock star that I am, I would say Paul Cervatka, but he's down in Illinois. Mm-hmm. But for the broadcast that I've got, and the journalism, definitely Alan May, and he is a Wisconsinite. So some people are going to understand this name. Alan May would not be here without him.
Great. Nice. Okay. Good that we get all that out there. Thank you for the update on the weather. Yeah. We'll talk to you a little later. Thanks, Brady.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you a little later on this May 6th, Monday. It is International No Diet Day. I think
that was too easy.
Well, Kristen, I think you'd agree with this. The International No Diet Day is based on the notion that unattainable body standards and pressure have prompted eating disorders, low self-esteem, bullying, and unhealthily restrictive diets. And I think really what we're trying to say here is all things in moderation.
Mm-hmm. I have so many feelings about diets. I mean, how many diets do you think you've been on in your lifetime?
Zero.
I tried to calculate once how much I used to have a podcast about weight loss and mental health and stuff like that. And did a lot of research, and I tried to do the calculations, and I think I've lost and gained in my life close to 800 pounds.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And there's no magic bullet. Nope. You know, you hear about the apple cider diet and the keto diet and all of these things. And, you know, they're all kind of faddish. What it all comes down to is just try to eat whole healthy foods, whole grains and produce, and get some exercise.
Yep.
Your body's your body.
Yep.
I love that. And I know you get this from patients all the time too, but you know, the joke Sherry always tells us, the patients, that she'll explain all this and they'll be like, well, isn't there just a pill you could give me? And her line back is always, if there were, don't you think I'd be a size 2 right now?
Yeah, it was called Dexatrim and it wasn't good for you.
Dexatrim. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do you remember those little chocolate candies that were called AIDS?
Yeah. Diet AIDS.
Oh. And it was right before the AIDS.
It was. Very unfortunate name.
Oh, yes. No.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, that didn't work out so well for that. So, yeah, let's be healthy out there with our food and exercise. It is National Nurses Day. And now, again, Kristen, I have to pick on you just because there's an MD after your name. It's National Nurses Day. So you think the docs would be like, that's great. National, you guys go ahead and have your day. No, it's also, of any docs that would do this, I'd pick this one. It's also Cardiothoracic Surgeon Appreciation Day. Now, of course, the Cowboys. Leave it to the Cowboys to go, no, nurses, it's our day too. So cardiothoracic surgeons, enjoy your day here on National Nurses Day. Okay.
They're so busy, they don't even know it's their day. You know, they're just like, thanks.
You know what? You're probably right. There's Melanoma Monday. Again, that's one for a good reason. I'm sure you've given the melanoma lecture plenty of times.
Yep.
Not too much time in the sun. It's Great Lakes Appreciation Day. It is Sauvignon Blanc Day, which, Selena, I see the wine rack behind you.
I don't even drink wine.
Well, it's just decoration.
That's great.
It's for guests.
Okay. This is Crepe Suzette Day, which I've heard of a million times. I don't even know what exactly makes a Crepe Suzette. It says here, the sauce is made from caramelized sugar and butter, orange juice, French liqueurs like Grand Marnier, and other flavored liqueurs like Triple Sec. Mm. So a liquored up crepe, I guess, is what we're talking about.
Do you set it on fire too?
Maybe. I don't know. And then finally, it is Meeting Planners Appreciation Day. And again, they are not here to get appreciated because they're busy planning a meeting for how they're going to mark Meeting Planners Appreciation Day.
It's a lot of days.
Yeah, there's a lot. Well, you know, it's early in the month. There's a lot going on here. So, Kristen, let's get more into any teachers that you want to single out before we turn things over to Selena and Emery.
Oh, yeah. I love what Rob said about special education. And if I could just give a shout out to my BFF from childhood, Marnie Sanderfoot, who is a special ed teacher at Kakana High School. And she just rocks it. Her kids are in such good hands and they know it and they love it. So Marnie is amazing. My BFF from high school, Victoria Otto, she is a teacher down in Illinois, retiring this year, which is so crazy. But teaching kids PE and yoga and just how to take care of themselves from a physical and mental health perspective. And of course, my oldest son, Abe, who is a teacher down in Racine. He teaches elementary music. This is his first year. And I just love the stories that he comes home with, things that the kids say. It's like listening to Garrison Keillor tell a story. He just, you know, they're just so funny and so beautiful and wonderful. And he just really loves his job.
That's so nice. Was there a teacher or two that all four boys had at some point where you go see, you see that teacher now and they've got four sets of notes to compare your boys over the years?
Yeah. Yeah. And we had a play. Lindsay was in a play. He's my third son over the weekend. And he was just glorious. He's a musical theater kid. So it was just like, it was the culmination of, he's a senior this year. So the culmination of all of his years. And the teacher who directs that play, Mr. Mohar at DePere High School, is a legend. Everybody knows Mr. Mohar. He does all the extracurriculars. Even if you haven't had him as a teacher, he is that guy who's always willing to step up and do the things for the students. So yeah, shout out to Mr. Mohar. I mean, everybody, you know, we did a campaign appearance soon after I kicked off my campaign for Congress, and my French teacher from high school showed up. Uh-huh. Hélène Pohl. She taught us how to make crepes. See how I brought that full circle for you?
Wow. Have you ever considered a talk show?
A callback.
Wow. Good on you. And you've got an event this week with some of the local candidates?
Yeah. We're doing a thing tomorrow at the Appleton Beer Factory where almost all of the state candidates and me will be there. We're inviting young people and focusing really on what do young people care about. We're going to speed date. So everybody gets to talk about the things that they're concerned about. And we get to hear directly from these people. So we're super excited about it. 6 o'clock, Appleton Beer Factory, downtown Appleton.
We were talking, I forget who I was talking to last week about this and how much more cohesive candidates are at the various levels, that in your case, a congressional candidate is doing things with and helping promote legislative candidates, whereas before it was kind of everybody was in a silo, everybody for themselves. And there's definitely more of a teamwork sense out there, because this is it's not easy. You know, you've been there. I've been there.
Well, that's why we did this. When I ran for assembly back in 2020, as we were recapping what our races were like, and it was COVID, so it was a really different time, but we all felt just very disconnected from each other. We all felt like we had similar questions that just didn't go answered. So we decided that instead of doing it that way, again, recognizing how important this election was and how important it is for us to be victorious, that we would go into it helping each other out, mentoring each other, making sure that we all had the information and the connections that we needed. And it's been really delightful just to watch different candidates responding to other candidates' questions, to have Senate candidates and Assembly candidates go out and knock on doors together, gather signatures together. All of the work that you have to do is so much more fun when you're doing it together. And that is exactly what's happening in Northeastern Wisconsin.
It's good to see that. And I'm sure it's happening in other parts of the state as well. On the other side of the break, we're going to hear more from Selena's daughter, Emery, who is either because of her exposure to you or because you're being a big bad stage mama. She's now doing some reporting of her own. And we're going to hear a little bit of that coming up.
Love it.
How did that come about? Did she say, I want to interview my teachers?
Well, I think when I asked her about it, she was all about it. If she would want to do something like that, she you know, watches YouTube videos. So then she sees all those kids on all those crazy videos. So
oh, I swear to God, if she puts these interviews up on YouTube and they get more hits than this show, that's going to be so bothered. But anyway, we'll hear Emery's Q&A with the teacher and a principal coming up in just a bit. The Brewers were blanked by the Cubs 5-0 yesterday, and the Cubs took 2 out of 3 in the series. A nice win on Friday, but Craig Council got the better end of the rivalry. This time around, the Brewers take off for Kansas City for 3 games starting tonight. More about Teacher Appreciation Week coming up next. Live from Lake Wasota and unabashedly Wisconsin, this is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlung.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Breaking those habits was hard to do, but nothing compared to the changes that you put me through. Trying to live my life without you, baby.
Trying so hard not to make this a full group sing-along on this Monday morning, May 6th, for Bob Seger's birthday. The Up North News Daily newsletter today is thinking about Mother's Day, which is coming up before too terribly long. And it turns out that four local restaurants in Wisconsin are among 100 best reviewed on Yelp. So where are these four amazing Wisconsin brunch places? And can you get in there for Mother's Day? I'm sure not. It's too late by now, given those reservations. But yeah, that's all I needed was to think about, yeah, it's Mother's Day coming up. And Kristen was having a bit of a crisis during the commercial break here about how can you mark Nurses Appreciation Day and Teacher Appreciation Day this week. We got to think about mothers this week. So much appreciating going on here.
So much appreciating. I always send a text to my kids like about a week in advance of Mother's Day just to remind them.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a little prodding.
Yeah.
Well, they forget. They need that little extra help. And, you know, usually I don't want things from them other than, you know, like a little appreciation, a card. And it gives them time to think about it.
So they send them a text saying, appreciate me, damn it.
And I do.
Okay.
Sometimes you need that.
You've got 1 week to start appreciating me.
It's usually like a reminder, like, just remember, Mother's Day is on Sunday, and I spent 9 months growing you inside my body. Have a nice day.
We're playing that card.
You should actually be like, it's a week from Sunday. Just remember, it's a combined total of 36 months.
They don't think about it that way.
No.
They're like, no, just me. I just want to talk about me.
They really don't. I wonder, too, though, if you have, in this case, a mom, it could be anybody who's got a favorite gift and they like getting that gift over and over again.
Like a Precious Moments doll?
Well, no, in this case, like, you know, for my mom, and she already knows because every year she talks about how much she loves plants and flowers. Mm. And she wants to get them herself. So we always get her a gift card to this local garden center. And when we've tried to give other things, she's like, no, I just want this. Cause then I get all my flowers for spring and I put them in there. So it's like, it's not even quite Mother's Day. It's here's Gurdon's gift card day, you know, for you. Cause you know what you're getting.
Well, but that's what she wants. So
that's what she wants. That's what she's going to get. All right. So from appreciating teachers and nurses, and moms, let's take it just to the teachers this time, Selena. And, so Emery was turned loose with a microphone. And how did she go about this? Why don't you lead us into a few audio clips about her?
Okay. Well, she wrote down her questions on a notebook and it was really cute. And I had to help her spell some words, but she wrote down her questions on her little notebook and she had a pen and she went in after school and she talked with her, she's in first grade now, but she talked to last year, her kindergarten teacher, who is very lovely, Mrs. Holly Heggie. So she started asking her a few questions and here is the first one.
What's your favorite thing about being a teacher?
My favorite thing about being a teacher has always been whenever kids learn something new, they get this really excited look on their face and they just seem so proud of themselves. And in kindergarten, kids are learning a lot of things for the very first time, like how to read and how to write and add and subtract, things that they've never done before.
Well, that was a good probing question there, Selena.
Yeah. Mrs. Heggie was so great. And she talked to her like, you know, she was a kindergarten teacher. And it was so, so cute. So she asked her, she asked her about 5 questions. But here's the second one.
What's something that people don't know about your job?
Not a lot of people know how much fun teaching can be. Sometimes people think about teaching and think, oh, that sounds scary. That's a lot of kids and a lot of things going on. But in our classroom, we always have so much fun.
You know what I really like? Like you said, she answers the question appropriately for a reporter of that age and doesn't say, oh, God, can we talk about the benefits? Can we talk about the premiums on the life insurance for this job? I mean, it's a ripoff. She doesn't do that. So good on her.
I'm sorry, Ms. Hagee. I have a follow-up question to fun in the classroom.
No, she did great.
Yeah.
Mrs. Heggie was really great, and it was the cutest. And Emery sat there with her legs crossed, and we practiced the night before, and she was ready to do this, and she was so excited about
it.
Gotta
get her a little fedora with a little thing that says press, you know, on it. I mean, she's turning into quite the journalist. And then teachers weren't enough. We went for principals next, right?
We did. We talked with the lunch lady also, then we talked with the principal also inside the school. And then we went outside and did a whole separate set of questions with the principal outside of school. And so it was the cutest. They sat on the playground on the swings, both of them swinging together. Mr. Ben Dahlman, he's her principal. And they sat on the swings together and they chit-chatted. And she asked him questions on the swings. And this is one of them.
Are there enough teachers?
Good question. There are enough teachers at Roosevelt's, but I know there's a lot of schools that need a lot more teachers. And so if you want to be a teacher, a lot of the skills you learn as a kid are important as a grown-up too. And so like organization, when you organize your desk and you plan things and you're kind to people and you help people, all that's really important to be a good teacher.
Look at this kid getting to the heart of the labor shortage out there with her questions.
She was hitting him hard.
I mean, Terry Bell's going to be here in a few minutes. We may hit him up and see if he needs another reporter.
She would love it.
She's doing outstanding. What was the impression you got from, you know, from Emery doing this, from Emery's teachers? Were, you know, are they remarkably similar to your own, or are things a little different? Now, do you see teachers differently now that you're a mom compared to when you were a wild child in Jackson County?
Well, gosh, I think teachers are pulled so many different directions now. And I think even like from the mental health standpoint, like I see my friends who are teachers and they're so much more. It's that, you know, they have to be a confidant so much to kids that, you know, maybe they don't have that at home. And they're more part of their world, I feel like, but I'm sure they were back then too. But it seems like it's just so much more involved because kids need so much. Not to say that they didn't back then, but
no, but we're more aware of it. And, you know, again, there's only so many hours in a school day. And yet if we're growing class sizes in these instances, you know, the kids aren't necessarily getting the attention they need unless, you know, that teacher can find a way to thread that needle. And it's no easy task whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at the four of us here wondering if any of us is most, who would be most likely to become a teacher in a second career.
Oh, after 4K last or 2 years ago, I thought, okay, I would love to be a 4K teacher or a kindergarten teacher because yeah, those kids are great. Like you, I can see there's a handful. I mean, I went on field trips. So, nice. But I think that's so fun. Like Mrs. Heggie said, they just absorb and learn so much. And how fun is that to be teaching them all these foundational things?
That's so cool. All right. Well, thank you, Selena. Thanks for sharing your junior journalist with us.
You're welcome.
And your teacher stories. And Kristen, same for you. We've got State Representative Robin Vining is part of Women Win Wisconsin on Thursday, powered by Motherhood for Good. And I know they're going to say nice things about you on Thursday because they always do.
Oh, I love that group.
And if they don't, I'll find them.
No need to be an enforcer. We got this.
All right.
Kristen, thank you so much. Have a wonderful start to your week.
Thank you. You too, guys.
All right. Director Mary Mazzio is coming up to tell us about her documentary on the Bad River and the Enbridge Pipeline right after this, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlaw.
Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It could be a first for Wisconsin's Alice in Dairyland program. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. On Saturday evening, Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc was named the 78th Wisconsin Alice in Dairyland, and she literally has no farming background. We'll introduce you to her next.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc was selected as the 77th Alice in Dairyland and introduced to the public on Saturday evening in Sturgeon Bay. This Alice comes from a zero farming background, but believes that plays to her advantage.
As the 77th Alice in Dairyland, I'm really looking forward to bridging that gap for producers and consumers, but I'm also looking forward to inspiring others who are growing up in urban areas, that there's a place for them in our agriculture industry. I know growing up, trying to get into agriculture, sometimes it can feel like there's a lot of obstacles or barriers to getting involved in our wonderful agriculture industry in our state. And I want to be a part of that bridge to getting people into our agriculture industry.
Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc, our new Alice in Dairyland, effective July 8th. She is going to be graduating this weekend from UW-Madison with a degree in life sciences communication.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And keeping it Alice in Dairyland, on Saturday evening, we found out that Crawford County will be hosting the 2025 Alice in Dairyland Finals. The organizers were on hand for the event and said that they'll be giving out more details as to locations and dates during the Crawford County Dairy Breakfast that's coming up on June 1st at the Crawford County Fairgrounds in Gays Mills. You can also follow along at aliceindairyland.com. Again, Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc, selected as the 77th Alice in Dairyland on Saturday. She'll assume those new responsibilities beginning July 8th, following the tenure of Ashley Hagenow from Poinette, our current Alice in Dairyland. There's food news on a Monday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little patchy fog, otherwise sunny skies and upper 60s later on today with northwest winds. Overnight, mostly clear, lower 40s. On Monday, sunshine, lower 70s. Wind turning to the southeast. More clouds on the way Monday night. A chance of showers and a few thunderstorms. It's 57 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? Actually, at One person texted during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
Stood there boldly, sweating in the sun.
Like it's 7:34. We're back on Up North News Radio for this Monday morning. And my guest now, Mary Mazzio, is the director, producer of the Bad River documentary. We've spoken before. We've talked about the documentary at length, about the efforts by the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to get an old and dangerous petroleum pipeline off their land. But even the rerouting itself could be problematic for the pristine waters that we'd like to keep pristine up north. Mary, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Pat, great to see you again. Thanks for having me back, having us back, having the project back.
Well, this project, you never know until it's out there. And a documentary about the struggles up on the Bad River that could have gone for, a 1 week run. Thanks for what you did. Got a lot bigger than I think there were a lot of expectations out there. How far flung in how many screens and how many states did Bad River end up being shown at?
Honestly, we opened in 12 major cities, as you know, and we heard immediately that AMC, for example, in Minneapolis, in Chicago, in Madison, Wisconsin, in Detroit, they doubled the screens. So you had 11 screenings on day one in Madison, for example. It was just extraordinary. People were pre-buying tickets. We heard of people flying in to Los Angeles from the Bay Area to be there on opening night. We heard multiple stories about people driving 6 hours to get to the nearest theater that was screening Bad River. So honestly, we could not have expected that kind of foot traffic, but it was really exciting.
Why do you think that was?
Several reasons, actually. Certainly Leonardo DiCaprio, Edward Norton, Jason Momoa, Channing Tatum Mark Ruffalo taking to social media, posting the trailers, that I think really helped goose awareness. But we've heard that from theater owners that people are going back 2, 3, and 4 times to see the film. And, when you're making a project like this, you can only hope that you have executed in a way that creates a meaningful experience and great understanding. And so in any event, we were pleasantly thrilled.
There's a personal story that you told me that I want you to pass on, somebody else's personal story. And it might be maybe a nice, uplifting way to end an interview, but I don't want to do that. I want to do it here to explain the importance of having films like this. Tell me again the story of somebody who was involved in the demonstrations against spearfishing, some 30 to 40 years ago, and the difference between how they felt about things then versus how they feel about the threats to the Bad River now, because they've been able to see the full history and story in a documentary like yours.
Thank you for that question. And I've heard repeatedly from different Bad River members who have either emailed or called. One story struck me in particular, is so moving. Ches Connors, a Navy veteran, served our country, appears in the film, of course, to speak about the challenges the band faced during the Walleye Wars. And he was stopped in a supermarket shopping lot. He was stopped in a supermarket shopping center. And a man approached him and said, "Hey, I saw you in that film. That was you." And Chaz said, "Yes, that was me." And the man said, "I need to shake your hand and I need to apologize." He said, "I'm so sorry. We just didn't know."
Well, because a lot of the communication back then was court-related. You know, you have these treaty rights for spearfishing. They are granted. And then all the other communication was from, you know, people who were essentially in the torches and pitchforks crowd who just saw something that they thought was an injustice because nobody had communicated the full history of the area, of the people, of the treaties that are involved. So when you tell me that this documentary has received this kind of acclaim, it just tells me this kind of storytelling and history would have really been useful, you know, 30, 40 years ago as well to maybe diffuse tensions.
100%. And we're hearing of school districts that are taking their children to Seabed River, sometimes bus rides of up, you know, up over an hour, Ironwood in Michigan and all, you know, all places in Wisconsin. And that's very exciting because, you know, to utilize this project as a way to educate young people going forward so they have a greater understanding. And I think it's fair to say back in the day that, you know, the state of Wisconsin was not helpful, certainly in Wisconsin as it relates to treaty rights by saying, you know, catch limits are due to, you know, Native American, you know, treaty rights. Like that just poured gas on the fire back then. And I think you're right. There was a great deal of misunderstanding. There was no information. And that was a real, real problem, obviously, back then.
So now you have a situation where, for folks that don't have all the background, Enbridge, their pipeline, this one is called Line 5, and stretches through this part up north, through the Bad River tribal community, and then through Michigan and on its way. It's actually, the beginning and the end points are both in Canada. It just happens to come through this part of the United States, and the part that's coming through the Bad River community is old. It's looking like it could be in danger of doing exactly what the Enbridge pipeline did to the Kalamazoo River not that many years ago. And so the question becomes whether Enbridge will move it, can get the permits to move it, or others who say just shut it down. And again, there's going to be plenty of ways to get petroleum products without necessarily, you know, damaging the environment up there. But where do things stand right now from your understanding of whether any kind of a court is going to rule on whether this pipeline goes away sooner rather than later?
Thank you for that. Certainly the lower court found that the pipeline had to be shut down. And that's the standing order from the federal district court in Wisconsin. And the shutdown has to happen before 2026. That was clear and unequivocal. Of course, you know, the company immediately appealed. There were cross appeals, and it's now before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. And the Seventh Circuit reached out to the Biden administration and revived an argument that the lower court had dismissed early on in the case. And Enbridge had made an argument that, well, yes, our rights have expired along 3 miles of this pipeline corridor. It expired 10 years ago, but there's a treaty from the 1970s between the U.S. and Canada that provides for the uninterrupted flow of oil along the pipeline matrix that crosses the border. And this was a very, very clever maneuver to trigger the treaty. And the lower court said, yeah, that treaty doesn't apply. The band has its own treaty. It has rights to its land, you know, stemming from 1854. And so the Seventh Circuit actually reached out to the Biden administration for their opinion. The Biden administration filed what's called a friend of the court, an amicus brief about a week and a half ago. And the brief is really interesting and a little bit confusing. It clearly stated Enbridge, it characterized Enbridge as a, quote, conscious trespasser with ill-gotten gains over $1 billion. And really criticized the lower court judge for imposing such a tiny, paltry, they called it paltry, financial penalty. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, as it relates to sovereignty and the pipeline treaty argument, the pipeline transit treaty argument, the Biden administration said, well, the band has its own sovereign rights to this land. You know, Enbridge is a trespasser. Normally, we would say the pipeline should be shut down right away, like eject the pipeline. However, because of this treaty, we think there are larger U.S.-Canadian issues at play, and we think the lower court judge should have at least more fully considered them. Not that the treaty applies, but again, this is really confusing language. And I think it's fair to say that in the brief, the administration did not suggest or dive into, well, how did this treaty get triggered in the first place? If you are calling the company a wrongdoer and a trespasser, how can a wrongdoer or a trespasser trigger an international, you know, nation-to-nation confrontation?
But there's also such a difference between a 1970s era treaty, which, as I understand it, was by and large the work of the late Senator Ted Stevens, you know, in Alaska, who wanted to make sure that, you know, petroleum from the Alaska pipeline would make it down to the lower 48. And again, this is all kind of commerce related.
Yep.
Whereas the other treaty, the one from 1854. That is much more foundational. This is your land. These are your rights. This is where you have sovereignty. It doesn't seem to this very untrained court observer like you can put these two, you know, on equal scales of justice. One is existential, and the other is if our pipeline leaks, we don't care because the treaty says you got to keep the petroleum flowing.
You know, Pat, I think you just nailed it on the head. This is not a case about oil. No matter what you might hear, this is a case about an aging piece of pipeline that's in a place where it shouldn't be. There are many, many ways to move oil. And I think if you allow this treaty, as you said, in the sort of the scale of balance, if you allow the treaty to even have any kind of impact, what you're doing is you're taking these commercial temporary uses of native land. They're all leases. They all expire. And now you're creating a situation where you're allowing these commercial for-profit companies to essentially take a wholesale taking of native land because you can never get them out or shut down or even force payment from whomever is on your land without going through a whole treaty process. And this is you and I talked before, this is a dangerous precedent when a company can resort to a trade agreement, a treaty agreement to resolve its own trespass, if you will.
So we've talked about the legal issues, the potential danger to natural resources, but let's talk about the people. Let's talk about the human impact here amongst the Bad River community and what they feel like they have been put through for something that they clearly wanted it. They've clearly stated their intentions. And yet this thing is taking years and the clock appears to be ticking on this aging pipeline. What part of that is in your documentary and how do you best illustrate what the community is dealing with?
You know, thank you for that. And I think, the film puts this all into historical perspective. This is one chapter of many, many chapters of taking of land. And at the end of the day, I think that the Bad River Band in fighting so hard for this fight, you know, they're fighting so hard to protect Lake Superior and at great considerable expense to themselves, at great personal cost. And it's for all of us in the lower 48 that will increasingly be dependent on Lake Superior in the years to come. And certainly, I think the fact that the lower court judge found that this pipeline could burst with the next major flood is terrifying in many ways to the community.
Needless to say, I mean, it was not that many years ago that there were just terrible flooding up there, and you could see the aerials, and that was just the natural occurrence of a flash flood without a pipeline rupturing. Can only imagine how much more it would do.
Exactly, Pat. And I think, you know, when the pipeline was put in, it was 350 feet away from the Bad River. Today, it's 11. Yeah. And earlier this year, the Bad River Band saw the water tables rise and went to the court and said, look, this is now, we're within inches. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but now we're reaching a real tipping point in terms of the risk here. And the judge said, you know, almost, you're not quite there. The parties need to agree on a shutdown plan. And to date, there has not been a mutually agreed upon shutdown plan.
So this is a case that we will follow. And if folks want to learn much more about it, badriverfilm.com is the way to do it. There have been several special showings around Wisconsin and now in other states as well. Streaming now on Comcast through the Bad River website, you can get details, and eventually coming to Peacock as well to see the work put forward by Mary Mazzio, the director and producer of Bad River. Mary, so good to talk to you. Thank you again for the update. And
Great to see you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, appreciate your time this morning.
All right. Sounds good. Take care. Thank you so much. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
One more for Bob Seger on his birthday as we approach 9 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday morning on Up North News Radio. Terry Bell is back with three things you need to know from the Civic Media Newsroom. Terry Bell, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. How was your weekend?
It was a very nice weekend. It was award season this weekend.
Oh, that's right. We mentioned that Chad Holmes had won an honor for his talk show. Mm-hmm. I believe Greg actually gave me a link, but I have not been able to look at it yet. As I look at it now, it's 11 pages of awards. So I got nothing for you, Terry. You're gonna have to tell me about. You're gonna have to brag on yourself.
Civic Media did quite well, I have to say. I couldn't tell you the exact number of awards. I can tell you our station in Wisconsin Rapids, WFHR, represented themselves extremely well. They won 3 first place awards. I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong about that, but a terrific showing by the crew on Saturday nights at the WBA Awards.
That's great. All right. Well, let's get into three things to know for the week. Where are we getting started?
Well, the president is coming back to Wisconsin. The campaign is heating up in an important swing state. The president's going to be in Racine, and that's important because he's going to be part of an announcement about a big expansion of Microsoft's plan for its campus there in Mount Pleasant in Racine County. And it's an important one for Biden, an important point to drive home. If you look at the latest Marquette University Law School poll, more people in Wisconsin, more likely voters, registered voters from Wisconsin, prefer Donald Trump on the economy at this point. So President Biden is highlighting initiatives like this to show that that he has taken a number of steps throughout his administration to get the economy on track and keep it on track.
We talked a little bit about this in the last hour as well, but let me come at it from more of a politically strategic point. Mm-hmm. And that is that, yeah, a lot of folks have heard a lot of, you know, doom and gloom about the economy based on, here's that word again, vibes, you know, that they just get a feel like I'm doing okay, but I get a sense everything else is really bad out there. But that's kind of where everybody is. Everybody's actually certainly better than 4 years ago, certainly in a good place compared to other places in the world. But yet that message isn't getting out. And people were thinking, well, this is really bad news for the Biden campaign. But if there's one thing I've learned over the years, and I think you have too. Campaigns last an eternity. And the Biden team still has 6 months from yesterday until Election Day. That's still a lot of time to get your message out on the economy.
Yeah, and this is all a part of that. And I think, too, not only is Microsoft building and investing quite a bit there, but I think Microsoft and Racine County presents quite a contrast to, let's say, the Foxconn developments in that same area, which was an initiative championed by former Governor Scott Walker and former President Donald Trump that did not live up to its promises. And I think you'll be hearing quite a bit about that Wednesday, too.
Don't doubt that for a moment. Second thing on three things you need to know to start the week deals with the ongoing protests across the country, really, on what's happening in Gaza with Israel's military, with Palestinian civilians being caught in the crossfire with Hamas terrorists. And the whole thing has really led to some demonstrations that sometimes have flashes of violence or conflict on America's college campuses. What's the latest on what's happening at the campus in Madison?
I'm down here. I'm based in Madison. And yes, last week was a very eventful week. First, the encampment, the protest encampment was set up on Monday. Wednesday, police moved in, took the encampment down and arrested a few people. The encampment went back up rather quickly as soon as the police left. And then university administrators and protesters kind of reached a compromise in which the police agree not to interfere with the encampment itself, but talks are ongoing about what the protesters are demanding. Jay Rothman, the president of the Universities of Wisconsin, not the Madison Chancellor himself, but he was on Upfront on Sunday on Channel 12 in Milwaukee, and he was saying that while negotiating, say, the terms of how the police will handle the situation are on the table. Eventually, the tents will come down, he says, and that some of the student demands are just not under the university's purview, that they're bigger foreign policy matters and not so much as investment by the universities themselves.
Right. I mean, there's the things that you can control and the things that you cannot. And one of the things that some of the demonstrators say that some of these universities can control is, to divest in certain funds and things. And look, economic pressures have long been a part of political demonstrations. I recall all the political pressure that was put on South Africa back in the apartheid era. So there is a role for that, and for President Rothman and others to say, well, it's all foreign policy, may not necessarily be the case. But again, like you said, there's just this need for ongoing dialogue so that both sides kind of appreciate each other a bit more, shall we say.
For sure.
And this takes us into Holocaust Remembrance Day, which also is something that gets marked this week.
Yes, it's winding down today, started at sunset last night in terms of Israel's observation of Holocaust Remembrance Day. And I put this on the three things because so much of what's been going on with the war in Gaza and also the protests here, anti-Semitism has gotten mixed up in the whole mix. And I think that is a point that people are trying to drive home. That no matter what your feelings about the situation in Gaza or the protests here, that anti-Semitism is completely wrong and should be condemned at all steps, and that sometimes it gets very hard for people to separate the Israeli government from the Jewish people and the Jewish religion, and I think that's a message that we're going to be hearing more of today.
Oh, without a doubt, because again, it is completely within bounds to be highly critical of the Netanyahu government and Israel's tactics without being, anti-Jewish or anti-Israeli for that matter, just against this government's policies. But again, there isn't room for, hatred against Jewish people, just as the same goes for Islamophobia. Terry Bell has three things you need to know to start the week. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. Of course.
All right. Greg will be along with Matt Nair on air coming up in a couple of hours. Greg, thank you so much. And a reminder that tomorrow we will be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan and also Robert Craig from Citizen Action is going to talk to us about medical debt. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow me on social media. Thanks for being here. Have a wonderful Monday. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author of Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel, Roger Rappaport, and Wisconsin comedian Tracy Schrader joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Soaring high above Lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.